Yeah, mine is silent.
We are live.
We are live.
Hey y'all, what up though?
What up though? How you doing today?
What up, y'all? Thank you for tuning in to Clink. We are your hosts,
Cam,
and I'm Kay. Hey, all right, y'all. So I know some of you, hopefully, you've been seeing our promos, and we are going to have a special episode today. We are going live. We are live, okay?
We are live.
Our first live show, and we have two wonderful guests. We have Christina Pye, and we have Tiffany Allen. Hey, y'all.
Hi.
Hey.
two beautiful ladies.
Yes. So, y'all, so thank you for stopping by. Clink with Cam and Kay. We are going to be talking about emotional IQ, and that's the key to relationships. And I see we have some people in the house. Can you read that, Cam?
Hey, Melinda P. She says she is here. Oh, she is so excited. Hey, girlfriend. Yes.
All right. So how we're going to start off with, for those who know what we do here, we are a podcast. We are sister friends. We are filmmakers. We are creatives. We are all the things creative, honey, right?
That's right, honey.
Okay. So we are grown women, and we talk about grown people-ish. Okay.
Definitely.
All right. And today is no different. So we're going to start off with our random question generator. It's like an icebreaker, so you guys get to know us better. And our guests will be joining us too on these segments.
Hey.
And then we're going to go to our What's Tubing on Tubi segment. And then we're going to get into our main topic.
Yeah.
But before we do that, I just want Christina and Tiffany just to briefly tell us about themselves. And go ahead, ladies.
All right, so my name is Christina Pye. I am a behavioral health therapist. I do have my own private practice called Julia's Jewels of Wisdom. I'm here to actually just help people just release their emotions and create a safe place for them to just be.
Yeah.
Be whoever they want to be themselves, be somebody they're not, just be what they want. So I'm looking forward to today.
All right.
Okay. And I am Tiffany Allen. I am a licensed professional counselor. I've been in the field for about 3 years, and I love mental health because I love helping people become the best version of themselves. So I am all about mental health.
Okay, yay. I just want to say hi, because my mom was like, I'm in here as well. Hey, mom, we see you. Okay. So for those who are watching live, feel free to, like, you know, periodically during our conversations to chime in as well. You all can chime in on the questions that we're going to ask, and you can chime in on What's Tubing on Tubi segment. And if you have any questions for our guests, you can also put that in the chat as well. And if you're watching them, go ahead and just chime in and just go ahead to just let us know where you're watching us from. And those of you who are going to be on the replay crew, you do the same as well. And don't forget to like, please like this video right now, because that helps us in the YouTube algorithm. We will show up at other people's feeds, and then we'll be exposed.
And then we can continue to bring you great content.
All right.
So, girl, if you don't get that question generator going together, every time we do this part, I am like shaking in my boots because I never know what she's going to say.
It's not me.
So it's new to me too, y'all, to our guests. Just to let you know, it's new to me too.
It's random. Okay. This is a good one. So we'll start off, and then we'll let our guests answer after. It just says, what are you a natural at?
Breathing.
Stop.
I am naturally breathe. You go first.
As I put popcorn in my mouth. Okay. I'm natural. Ooh, what can I choose?
Well, Well, since you have popcorn in your mouth, I'm going to say I'm a natural at communicating. Mm. And I say that because a lot of times when I just like to communicate, I like to try to find the best in people. I like to communicate effectively. I think for the most part, really mastered not talking so much, but listening more. And listening, resonating, and responding, which means I listen to the information coming into me. I let it resonate within me, which means take the time to answer when necessary, and then I respond. So I would say I'm a natural at communicating.
Okay. One of the things that pop up for me is I am a natural at leading. I'm a natural born leader. And sometimes I like it and sometimes it get on my nerves because it doesn't matter, like whatever I'm involved in, it always happened. Like if I'm volunteering somewhere or at a job or it over the years, it does not matter. I don't go out and seek a leadership position. They always come to me and ask me. And I just come to the fact that, okay, they see that in me and I know that I am a natural leader. But again, sometimes it can get taxing because, you know, you have other people who won't step up. Because if people don't step up, I feel like, okay, I have to say something. I have to step up. You know, sometimes I just want to fall back and let other people lead sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm one of the things that I'm a natural at. So what about you, ladies?
So I'm a natural at asking the right questions.
That's good.
Yeah. So I'll tell you my favorite one. So what is the barrier for you not getting this done? Or and it seems like when I do ask that question, you know, it just stops. That person's like, well, dang, what was the barrier for me not getting this done? Right. Or one of my favorite, I'm on the dating scene. Are you self-aware? What does that look like for you? Are you able to be like, what does that look like? And that usually stops them in their mid-thought, like, oh, well, I never thought of it. Thought about that. And take a moment. Take a couple days.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm natural at asking questions. Okay. Get to the bottom of things.
Yeah, I want to know.
I'm going to say you're a natural at therapizing.
So you in the right field, girl. You are in the right field.
She'd be like, excuse me. Okay, go ahead. Next sister girl.
I would say I'm a natural at noticing the red flags.
Oh.
Friendships, relationships, every single thing. I have really started to pay attention to body language, actions, because a lot of people will tell you one thing, but then their action shows you something totally different. So I've been really trying to step my red flag game up, and it's been working.
Okay, yeah. Tiffany, I need to take you around and put you in my pocket then, because
I get it, because, yeah. So you got that bullish indicator. Yeah.
Yeah.
She'd be like, no, I can see through all that. Yeah.
Right.
Like that.
Okay. So our next question, we only do two. What's on your bucket list this year? Oh, this year. What's on my bucket list this year is to film my movies that I wrote. That's on my bucket list for this year, especially Nice Guy, which is loosely based on my experiences. But yeah, so that's on the forefront of my bucket list this year. What about you, Cam?
Hallelujah. I have a long bucket list, though. I think right now that what is on my bucket list that I haven't done for this year? So far, I think that I have been pretty good at checking things off my bucket list because I like to make a lot of short-term goals and then attack them. Like, I handle life like an elephant, just eating one bite at a time. So I try not to make
goals for me, I have to do things a little bit at a time instead of trying to just dive in and do a whole lot of different things, because if I do, it'll overwhelm me. Y'all know what I'm saying? So on my bucket list, I guess my bucket list would be the one day at a time. That's my bucket list. Okay. To do things one day at a time.
Okay.
All right, I was trying to find the right way to say it, but I just say one day at a time.
Okay. All right. What's on y'all bucket list for this year?
Actually, I've been wanting to learn how to sew for a very long time. Like, I can do a simple stitch, like sew a hole. I made pillows when I was back in the day. But I actually have a sewing machine. It's a new digital Singer sewing machine that's sitting in my closet, and I want to learn how to make rompers. I love rompers. I like jumpsuit. And I've noticed, like, for especially Black women, the crotches are, like, so long. Like, my crotch is not that long. Yeah. And I need something that is tailored to my crotch. So, I do want to. Now, my brother does sew. He does an excellent job. So maybe he can give me some tips, but I do want to take some classes.
Okay. Yeah, that's dope. Okay, sewing. Tiffany?
I want to go zip lining.
Oh, I love zip lining. That's fun.
I've never done it, and I'm afraid of heights, but I think that it would just be like a freeing experience for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to just say this. It is a place in West Bloomfield that you can go zip lining. It's like a best kept secret. I think you can Google it. I went a couple years ago, and it's not like up like really high. It's a good place to like just start.
You have to keep that in mind. Christina, you want to go with me?
I want to.
Bungee jumping. I always wanted to do that.
Yeah, zip lining, Tiffany. Zip lining is fun. Mm-hmm. I zip lined over Niagara Falls. I zip lined. I didn't do Niagara Falls, but I did zip line when I was in the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know it looked like it was Jurassic Park because it's so much foliage and beautiful country. I mean, I was zip lining and I was screaming like, ah, because I was expecting a dinosaur to come out.
Okay, so I just wondered, some people did answer the questions in the chat. So Signa, my big sis, she says she's natural at sarcasm and pettiness. And Melinda said, I think she's responding to her bucket list to make clothes. And then my mom, Lavinia, she said to actually retire. Yeah, she's retiring this year.
Oh, good going, Mom. Take me with you.
All right, so our next segment is, I'm sorry, y'all, we do not have our graphics, but that's okay. But our next segment is, what's tubing on Tubi?
What's
so
tubing on Tubi?
A lot of us have a fascination with Tubi. And, you know, we some very entertaining movies on Tubi.
Yeah.
So this segment is, we just recommend our Tubi movies that we've seen. And we just, you know, recommend them to people. Cam, you want to start?
Well, why don't we let our guests start? I'll go last. Sister girls, what did y'all see on Tubi that you like?
Go ahead. My favorite. Oh, my God. A Good Man. I love that movie. I watched it over and over and over again.
What about it that you like?
You know what? I like it because it's so real. Like, the guy portrayed to be a good man, which he was in the beginning. The girl portrayed to be a good woman, kind of, sort of. But pretty much, make a long story short, he wasn't ready to get into a relationship because he wasn't healed. She wasn't over her ex, her ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And I mean, can I tell the end or y'all?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
In the end, pretty much, he walks in on his girl fiance having sex with her ex-boyfriend. But what the killer part was is in the beginning of the movie, he told her his hurt, his pain, why he was no longer with his first wife or a girlfriend, and she did the exact same thing to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's happened all the time. We get into relationships.
Come on now, you better talk.
And then they in turn do the same thing that they said they would never do.
Come on. Oh, let me. She all like, yes. Oh, well, I am sipping on a margarita. Yeah. So.
But you know what? That is so true. And I know this is off topic, but since we have you here, why do people do that? Why do people use like the information that you give them? It seems like they use it against you. And when you're trying to like be like, warning, Will Robinson, this has happened to me. This is a trigger point for me. And instead of them taking that into consideration, they do the same thing. Yeah. And then they'll be like, well, you forgave that person or you did whatever with that person. And be like, but in this movie, he didn't quite forgive his first wife.
No, he didn't.
She kind of like just disappeared. So for all of you out there, you should think about that.
Oh, yeah, you should.
For real, because you never know how crazy people are. But to that point, there a good man too is coming to Tubi soon.
Woo!
Yes.
Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
All right. Christina, you have yours. And Melinda said that she loves that movie, by the way, Tiffany.
Okay, Melinda.
So, I just stumbled upon this movie, and it's called The Pulpit Gangster.
Wait, what?
The Pulpit Gangster?
But it is based upon a true story.
Oh.
Of was that the Church of House of Prayer down in Atlanta? Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna give it away. Okay, keep your children real close and safe.
Oh, it's one of those.
Was good. It was phenomenal.
Okay, I'm gonna check that out then.
The Pulpit Gangster. All right.
And then I have one more.
Okay.
Please.
Oh yes. Please.
Oh, you like that movie?
I know that one.
Please is by Dennis Reed. Okay. It's a movie. It's a movie about somebody messing with somebody's feelings. It's kind of not like a good man, but it kind of like is, except for she a little ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. Yeah.
All right. Please. Okay, I'm gonna check those out. So one that I like, I end up liking. It's not the best quality, but the story was really good. It's called Betray.
Oh,
Betray. You see, Betray.
I haven't seen it.
So it's about this married lady. She either owns a hair salon or she works at one, and her homegirl works with her, and her homegirl's man kind of pushing up on her. Okay. And the young lady, because she's married, and her husband is like a ex basketball player who is like out the game. I think he got hurt or something like that. So he's like doing some scouting. So she doesn't. I don't want to give it away too much, but she doesn't really trust him. And she, her and her homegirl's man hook up, and something tragic happens at the end. That's all I'm going to say.
So her and her homegirl's man hook up, but she didn't trust her husband.
Uh-huh.
Girl, bye. how you going to cheat on somebody because you didn't trust him and you going to go do what you think that he did? Okay.
Right, for revenge. So, okay, y'all, that's our recommendations.
I didn't do mine yet.
I let our friends go first.
Okay, what's tubing on Tubi? The last movie, I try to watch movies that my friends make because I want to support them. So the movie that I watched was The Deceitful Wife. It was starring Emery Law and Amir Garrison, and it was written by my homegirl Jayla Mosley, and they are all from Detroit.
Hey.
So check that out. The Deceitful Wife. And Emery is fine too. So
okay.
He is.
All right. That's all you have to say. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. I'm just looking at the chat. Okay. So Signa. She says she binge watched Dateline. Okay.
Okay.
Brandon. Hi, Brandon.
That's my cousin.
It's your cousin. Okay. Hi, Christina, cousin. People representing. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all. So let's get into this topic. We're about to get into this topic. Emotional IQ, keys to relationships. So for people who may not know what emotional IQ or emotional intelligence is, can you just break that down for us, ladies?
Yeah, so emotional intelligence is the ability to manage both your own emotions and understand the emotions of the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with that, there are four pillars. So you have self-awareness, self-regulation,
empathy, and ding, 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 social skills.
Yes.
I'm just showing y'all I did my research.
Yeah, she did her research.
I'm a researcher. So I got my iPad out. I agree with the experts, and they do say that on that's on there, guys. We got experts.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So why is it something? Why is this a topic that we should know?
It's very important. So mainly, when I was looking at this and digging deep.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing is that it is beneficial, which is one of the first pillars, is self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So one must have self-awareness of their own issues, like their mm-hmm. own issues, mm-hmm. in order to heal, progress, and to move on. So, you know, we meet people. It doesn't necessarily have to be relationships. It could be friendships. You mm-hmm. might have that passive aggressive friend. So you're asking the question, what's going on? What happened maybe in their childhood that is they're actually reacting that way towards you? So it's very beneficial for each of you, all of you, to recognize your emotions and how it influences your actions. So have you ever, I just have a question. So mm-hmm. have you ever had someone say, honey, why do you always do that? Like, why do you mm-hmm. always do that? And someone that has or is trying to work on themselves or trying to be a little bit more self-aware, they'll say, oh, I didn't know I was doing that. Let me work on that. Now, mm-hmm. someone who is not self-aware, what do they normally do? What could they do?
Get defensive.
I didn't know I did that. I don't do that.
This is how I am.
See that. So, yes. So being able to identify that.
But don't you also think that from a professional standpoint, when you say self-awareness, a lot of times people aren't self-aware because they don't know what self-awareness is?
That's true. That is true. That is very true.
Mm-hmm.
And in all things, let's get an understanding.
Right.
Of what it is. Like if someone comes to myself or maybe Tiffany, and like, hey, Tiffany, Christina, can you explain to me what that is? Yes. Yes, I can do that. I can do that.
Okay. So what is self-awareness for people who are watching?
All right. So basically, what are your triggers? So being total, your whole being, what are some of your triggers? So what makes you tick? You know, so what makes you angry? What makes you happy? What makes me feel those fuzzy things inside? So it's like me doing a crisis plan with one of my clients. I want to know your triggers. What are your triggers for your strong emotions? Mm-hmm. Well, when my sister comes in my room and takes my stuff. So we know that's the trigger. So when she starts coming into your room, how can I cope ahead before she comes in my room?
So it's almost like being proactive rather than reactive.
Okay. So in dealing with emotional IQ, emotional intelligence. Why is it important to manage not only our emotions, but be concerned or react in a positive way to other people's emotions as well? And for those who see us looking over here, that's our monitor.
Or is it sometimes to be the empathy?
Yeah.
Empathetic towards others.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because in order for you to really know how to deal with other people, you have to have empathy to deal with them in the first place. And some people lack empathy.
Yeah.
So like when people do lack empathy, what does that look like?
When people lack empathy, they hold no regard for how the other person feels. They're pretty much stuck in their own head. They have really rigid thinking. So they're not willing to bend or compromise or anything because they can't even understand why you're upset or what's making you sad. Mm-hmm. So being empathetic is just taking the time to understand how the other person is feeling.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to emotional intelligence, and what we're going to touch on like just different types of relationships of why it's important. And we really want to focus on like the dating relationship, you know, or if you're married. So like when it comes to like a parent-child relationship, what does that look like?
I'm a mother of three. I have all different ages. I have an 8-year-old, a 20-year-old, and a 14-year-old. And my daughter, my middle daughter, she struggles sometimes with social anxiety. And I took her this past winter to tour Renaissance High School. And I could see her just kind of, you know, walking slowly, like lagging behind us. And in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, this is Renaissance. You're about to have a ball. You're going to have so much fun. But I had to really pay attention to my daughter. Like, this is a lot for her. So me being empathetic was just like telling her, I understand how you feel. This could be very overwhelming for you. What do you need in this moment to be okay? So it's just really taking the time to try to understand what the person is going through and what they need to be okay. It doesn't necessarily mean that you agree, but you are trying to understand.
I like the fact that you said that you're looking at the other person and what they need. I think a lot of times when people in situations from parent, child, or in situations overall, we don't focus on what the other person needs. We think about what we need instead of what they need. Because in that moment, I can say, you as a parent could have been like, oh girl, don't be acting like a fool. Shoot, you at Renaissance High School. You know how much I had to sacrifice for you to get here, and you acting like a daggone fool. And then that would have made her just like shut down or like just really hurt her. But for you to handle it in that manner and say, hey, you know, what's going on? What are you thinking about? Are you feeling a little overwhelmed? And for you to be able to identify that she had that social anxiety is everything as a parent, because sometimes when parents aren't, since we're talking about emotionally intelligent, they get angry when they don't understand what their children are going through, instead of them saying, oh, hold on, let me step back and pay attention to what's going on here. They get angry. Have you seen that happen?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, especially when I do family therapy, parents try to tell their kids how they should feel. Mm-hmm. And I always have to stop them and say, like, your perception is different from your child's perception. You have to listen to what they're saying. Again, you may not necessarily agree with how they feel, but that's how they feel. Mm-hmm. And in order for any relationships to really grow and flourish, you have to have empathy. You have to.
You do, you do, because I think if you don't have empathy or if you lack empathy, it's like, do you have a heart? You know, it's like, do you even feel? Do you even care?
And that could translate into so many different things.
for you, you have to care about how other people feel. It's not about you and your feelings all the time, or like you were saying, your perception. You know, we have to understand with children, they're looking at things with children's eyes, feeling things with a children's perception, their point of view. Whereas as adults, we have, we can have become hardened because of life and different things that we've gone through. And we learn how to establish different coping mechanisms, which can, we can come across harsh. And I think it's important that we have to, as adults, try to heal ourselves and get to a place where we look at, not only in adulthood, but as even with children, we have to look at other people's perceptions in order for us to all be here on this earth together and gain understanding.
Yeah, I agree.
That's good. That's good. That's good. So when it comes to, so we talk about parent-child relationships, when it comes to friendships, like what can someone who say if they lack emotional intelligence and they're in a friendship, like what the things can they do to be become a better friend in that aspect when it comes to emotional intelligence? I think it goes to that thing that y'all said, self-regulation, Pinky.
Yep, that's self-regulation. So managing your emotions in a healthy way. That's that, you know, because right now the world is ever changing, we're ever adapting. And in circumstances that we change and that are changing, how do we adapt to change? Some people don't like change. Change is hard. And
scary. Change is scary.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The world is scary.
Yeah, it's right very now. Scary. So, you know, it is beneficial, especially when you're in a relationship, to really look at yourself from the outside in, inside out. What am I doing in this relationship that is causing a rift in the relationship? So relationships, they're ever changing. I mean, you're constantly growing together. You know, you may have children, you may travel, maybe a job loss. And how do we project, I would say, a softer side of emotions?
That's good. Yeah. So since we talking about, you went, we'll just go continue on that trail with the relationships. I kind of like experience in a dating relationship, someone who really lacked emotional intelligence. I was telling him, you know, how I was feeling. I was bringing up things that I saw, you know, and I didn't like that. I want you to do this. I'm feeling this way, and I'm crying. I'm a crier. So, you know, when I'm mad, I cry. When I'm happy, I cry. When I'm upset. So, you know, I'm like literally like just crying. We're in his car, like in front of my house, and I'm crying, and I'm just like, I'm looking over like, and you know, and
throw me a life preserver,
you know, like comfort me something, yeah. You know, but you know, he couldn't. I'm just like, oh, I don't like this.
Yeah.
You know, so how can a person gain emotional intelligence? How can they up it?
Is go to counseling.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh.
I mean,
that's it.
They also need help.
Yeah, willing to want to change.
Yeah, and willing to sit with themselves. That I don't know if any of you that are watching or any ladies have ever really sat with yourself. And that is can be an uncomfortable feeling.
It definitely can. But it's necessary to sit with yourself, because if you don't, a lot of times, like, you know, clients I see, they get out of a relationship and 2 months later they end another relationship, but they're complaining about the same stuff from the last relationship. And I have to say the hard truth, like, Could it be something that you're doing?
Right.
You really have to take the time and be alone and really work on ourselves internally, externally, you know, holistically to really become the best versions of ourselves. But I, for what your question, Kehlani, I do think therapy, as Christina said, and they have to have a willingness to want to change and better themselves.
So I like that. You said you have to sit with yourself because my therapist, I love her. And she really makes you take a look inward. And so can you just expound like what sitting with yourself, what that entails? Because some people are just like, okay, I'm just going to sit with myself. What am I supposed to ask myself?
It varies from person to person. So, you know, for me, when I sit with myself, I think about the things that I can improve on. Maybe the things that maybe didn't work in a friendship relationship or an actual relationship. What am I doing for self-care for me? Who are in my inner circle that I can actually depend on and that are my true blue, you know, friends? Family too. Who do I need to remove from out of my life in the moment or forever that is hindering my growth as a woman? And
I think that sometimes though we live in a world now where people are actually delusional. Some people want to sit and they want to say that everything is everybody else, but never them. Because they don't want to take the time to sit with themselves, which means take accountability for themselves and say, hey, what am I doing wrong? Hey, when we were having this conversation, I didn't have to say it like that. But it's always like, well, I said what I said because that's my truth and that's the way that I feel. And it's like, how old are you? You're not two. A two-year-old expresses themselves like that. They just say, blurt out whatever they want to blurt out. They don't think about anybody else because this is how I feel. So we live in a world now where everybody wants to just say how they feel and what their truth is. And I just think that people are really just a tad bit delusional because at the end of the day, just because it's your truth doesn't mean that it is the truth. So how do we combat that?
That's good.
That sounds like a narcissist.
Yeah.
To be honest, they don't change.
It's like, who is that? I don't know who the songwriter is. It's, I'm the problem, it's me. You know, a lot of time it's you're the problem, it's you. And when you're not able to see that for yourself, you know, that's why they're not able to keep friends a lot of times with their own just communicating. There's a rift in communication. They're always right, never wrong. Like you said, the ability to keep peace. They just shut down. You know, when you start saying something, they overtalk you. They want to have the last word. You need me. You know, do I really need you?
And a lot of those people that are narcissists, they really don't change. They can come to therapy at 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, but they're stuck in their own reality. And if you don't conform to their reality, then they just move on to the next thing and the next thing, and it just becomes a cycle. So unfortunately, some people never come out of delusion. That's the reality.
That's deep. So, yeah, it is. So would you say like a narcissist, and you know that people, you know, we all use that word, like
it's used very loosely. It's really a diagnosis.
So are narcissists, are they the only ones who cannot express like empathy, or are they the only ones who have a challenge with emotional intelligence?
I don't think so. What I've learned working in the field is a lot of people with those, like that lacks that emotional intelligence, it comes from their childhood, their environment. So if you're not if you're not provided that nurturing, that love, you know, infant, toddler, adolescent, then it's really hard for you to change, because I'm changing to what? I've never seen it. So if you're closed-minded, again, narcissist or not, if you didn't get that foundation, then you may always lack that emotional intelligence. And as therapists, we are not magicians. We can't fix you. You have to be willing to do the work, and we work with you on a collaborative basis.
Yep. So it's more so like attuning. So when you're younger, a mother attunes to their, you know, their child. They're crying. You know, they maybe need to be changed. They're sick. She's right there. Now, if you have a mom that's working often, maybe dropping the kids off at someone else's house, that attunement piece, sometimes it lacks that. And they don't know how to respond appropriately as they continue to age.
You know, that brings me to something. I don't know if this is off topic, but I once, many, many moons ago, dated a narcissist. And I remember doing everything that I could. Like, I loved him to the core. But no matter how much I poured into him, and I'm talking about emotionally poured into him, it was never enough. So in the sense, I ended up losing who I was because I wanted to just, you know, make him happy and prove to him that somebody had loved him, because he had had such a messed up childhood. And that was horrible for me, because I left that relationship empty, and I didn't even recognize myself by the time I got out of that relationship. So me as a therapist, I had to go to therapy and sit with myself and do a lot of shadow work, you know, inner child work, thinking about my childhood, and just really working on myself. But again, I was able to work on myself and become a better woman, because that's what I desired for myself.
Okay. So why do you think that we as women, and men do it too, think that we can love people past their pain?
I think it's natural for me. That's just who I am. I'm a giver, a helper, a nurturer, but I don't really know. I wanted to fix him. Like, I could fix you. I could fix you. But I'm not fixing nobody.
Come on. Right.
You got to come into me already fixed. And I can pour into you, and you can pour into me. But we're going to be pouring into each other 50-50. I would never fix my cup for anybody. That includes my family, friends, no one.
And then also, when you look at self-esteem as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, sometimes growing up, if you're not poured into,
that's true,
by both parents or an auntie, an uncle, then it's like, oh, well, this is all I can get.
That is so true.
I'm going to stay. And then when a guy, a man, sometimes they pick up on that weakness a little bit. And then they, as my dad would say, placate. So they placate on you. So they want to, you know, oh, well, baby, if you leave me, you ain't going to find nobody else. Who's providing? You can't provide nothing. So it's more so like they beat you down. So that's how come I had taken a women's studies course, and somebody raised their hand and asked the teacher, why do women in abusive relationships stay? Why can't they just leave? And the teacher broke it down. She was just saying what I just said, you know, they find that one thing, that one heartstring, they pull on it and they break you down. And the woman, she basically has to get the courage and say, hey, enough is enough. And sometimes it's too late.
Yeah.
That's true.
Before we talk about like recognizing signs that someone has low emotional intelligence, someone had a question. They said, what about emotional intelligence in the workplace, or even having empathy in the workplace? How would that play into what we're talking about?
Well, I've worked for corporate for a nice minute, and you get Those are all the cans. Yes, yes.
All cans.
Yeah, that lack in some that don't. And then sometimes they like we said all around, they may not know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like lunch and learns. So definitely for HR to definitely bring that up to them. And when they are lacking it, you know, sometimes that bringing it up, self-awareness and stuff like that, that makes them, may make them spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
I think though,
you hold your head up high and you keep yeah. going.
I was going to say also, I think in the workplace, people, we used to be more relational in the workplace. We used to be more communal in the workplace. Mm-hmm. But nowadays you have like a dog eat dog type of attitude where people keep to themselves and they have this thing in their mind, like they're, you know, trying to climb their way to the top and things of that nature. I think in the workplace, if people took the time to talk to people, just to say hello, to be kind to people, to find some type of commonality, not that you have to tell them all of your personal business, but just be human. You know, we live in a world now, people don't want to just be human, speak to people, you know, pass somebody the salt or pepper in the lunchroom, wash your hands in the back, whatever. I just think that people don't do that anymore. You know what I'm saying? So like in the workplace, you need to be more communal, you know, and speak to people and try to get to know people, in my opinion, to a certain degree.
And so a lot of them I hear, oh, I'm not a people person. Okay. And you're in customer service because if you're not a people person, and then this.
Yeah.
This has, just think about back in, I'm an 80s baby. So think about back in the 80s. I didn't have the internet like that. I didn't have social media at my, because everybody wants it now and they hide behind this. And oh, hey, you could be sitting across from your friend and send a text message. Why don't you talk to me?
I think that's so rude.
Oh, that is God,
very somebody rude. I don't be like, what?
That is
you're rude. Right there. Yeah.
Right.
That's rude. I'm old school. So what if you have like, what did you recommend someone who have a boss who lacks empathy or lacks emotional intelligence? How would you suggest that person try to get along with them to have a peaceful working relationship?
Go to HR. No, just wait.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to kind of meet people where they are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a boss that lacks empathy, that's kind of, you know what? That's a tough one because.
So, I mean, it's my personality. I like to go head on. So
yes, you do.
I will. Do we? Come talk to me for a minute. Like, I'll have a conversation with you.
Your boss?
Yes, I have.
Me too, girl.
With the smile, because you're not
your office now.
And then sometimes if you mirror their behavior, like when it's just the two of you, like if they a little snarky and they a little snap, snap. And then so when you get them by themselves, they'll do a little snap, snap. They'd be like, what? Oh, I'm just acting like you acted 10 minutes ago when we were in front of everybody. And I just wanted to show you what that felt like before I went off on you. Because I don't want to lose my job, but this is how you were acting. Because sometimes you need to show people how they're acting, because they don't see it.
No,
that is until you mirror it in front of them or show them an example of it, and they're like, "Oh, I was acting like that." Yeah, you're right.
But then sometimes, I guess the caveat to that for me is you have that conversation with them, and some of these bosses take things personal rather than professionally, and then they start to treat you different. Because you said something. So it's a thin line when you think about the workplace.
Oh, that's true, Tiffany. That is so true.
Because someone said to me that we typically don't leave jobs because we don't like the work. We leave jobs because of the boss.
People. Yeah, the boss. Yeah. I've heard that.
So true. Because you try to have conversations. You even try to go to HR and talk to HR about it, but nothing typically happens all the time.
That's true.
All right. That is true.
Kind of one of those,
Mm-hmm. Right. So before
it's real unfortunate, I'll say that.
Because I'm sure we've all been there. Some of us may be that now.
I know I've been there. Thank God I'm not there now, but I've definitely been there.
Yeah, because I have worked with male people who've said inappropriate things, and I've told them, come on, don't do that. You got a wife and kids at home, and I would hate for you to lose your job. And they left me alone because I meant what I said. Now, I'm going to give you one warning before I go write up this paperwork, because I'm not going to go talk to HR. I'm going to write it down. Because the pen is mightier than the sword, and it's going to be worded to the T, and you will lose your job. So I just think that in the workplace, I have found over the years, I've been in my job now for 25 years this year, but I pull people to the side. I get you, like, you know, you act like you got a little attitude. Let's go in the bathroom. Let me talk to you real quick. Or I don't like trying to front off on people in front of other people, even if they act ignorant towards me. So my approach would be when people get out of pocket, I say, are you okay? Is everything all right at home? And I just start asking them questions in a very calm manner. And I think I scare them. I'm serious. I'll be like, is everything okay at home? You know, and they'll be like, yeah. And then sometimes people will open up to you and say, you know, I got a lot going on. I'm really sorry, because they didn't mean to respond that way. But people got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, they do.
It's a lot going on in the world.
A lot of times we do have to a lot of times grace towards people, because you don't. They're acting out because, like you said, something could be going on with them. But before we wrap up, we need to answer the question. How do you spot someone that has emotional intelligence? Like, are there signs that we can see?
So that has emotional intelligence, or
who lacks it?
Who lacks it?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
All right. So for self-awareness, a lot of aggression, you know, contradictive, passive, 50-50. So this struck me when I was thinking about it. I wrote it down, like they are keeping half because they're struggling with trust and trust within themselves. So, you know, an issue may arise and it may just be a portion of the issue instead of the big picture, because they're afraid that if they say something else, you know, another issue might arise. So they'll just keep it. You know, like somebody tiptoes around you, you walk on eggshells. Mm-hmm. So they'll keep that part of them inside of them. In terms of self-regulation, attitude, anger, mood swings, maybe they struggle with control. So it's like a constant battle. I think of it as a storm being in your mind, like as a constant thunderstorm in your mind. But when it comes out, you're getting that thunderstorm. So like if you have a tornado going around in your mind, all the debris is going on your partner. So you're left picking up the pieces, the debris, and trying to clean it up, at, you know, asking, well, what's wrong? What can I do to help? There's nothing you can do to help. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear it. And then slam, they're out the door. So, you know, that's for self-regulation. So it's just adapting to change, and, you know, just remember you're a team in all things, and be at your best when you can. I mean, sometimes even at your worst, hopefully they'll still be there, right there.
You have any final things to add, Tiffany?
If someone, your partner, lacks empathy, lacks trying to understand how you feel or your needs, that's also a red flag that they lack emotional intelligence. Especially when you think about like social skills, if you are a person that goes to like a lot of dinner parties or just spends time with your family, and you notice your partner is over in the corner and really not talking to anyone, that's lacking emotional intelligence as well, because they don't even really know how to connect with others. you know, outside of you. And when you're in a relationship, you're not just dating the person, but you are also enmeshed with their family and friends as well. Mm-hmm. So if you notice that they're standoffish or they don't want to be around nobody, they just want to be around you by yourself, they're lacking something. And then also if they come home and you're laying down, you're really quiet and they just like, what did you cook? Or did you pack my lunch? Things like that. And they're not even attempting to notice like, my girl, she's a little bit quiet today. Mm. They're not even trying to understand what's wrong, what's different. Then you off. That's another key that they lack emotional intelligence.
That's good.
That's real good.
I just want to mention a Cygnus comment. She said, children today are facing enormous challenges and distractions that many of their parents were not exposed to. Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Yes, because I always say like, ooh, I don't know if I wanted to be raised in this generation. It's a lot. It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot.
It's tough. Yeah.
It really is.
It is tough.
Well, thank you, ladies. This was a good conversation.
A really good conversation.
We might need to do a part two.
Right. But so everybody that's in the chat now, don't forget to like this video. And those of you who are part of the replay crew, don't forget to like it as well and share it, because this is some good information. Someone said, Jessica King says, speaking the truth. Yes. Yeah. So this was very insightful, ladies. And I really, we really thank you.
We do.
We really do. For your
thank you for having us. This was really a pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, y'all are like so awesome. I love y'all vibe. I just love everything. I was just sitting here like, educate me, girlfriends.
Yes.
I just think it's really important on this platform and a lot of other platforms, we have to have these conversations. We have to have these discussions. We have to have people who are professionals at this, that are informed, not only professionally, but in life. And so we really do thank you, ladies, for coming on to help us help others with emotional intelligence on this platform.
So as we get ready to close out, we're going to bid you adieu, everybody that's watching us. And Tiffany and Christina,
thank you.
Just stay right there just for a second so we can debrief at the end here. And y'all don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, okay, to this channel. We are, again, Clink with Cam and Kay. Mm-hmm. And normally we have our sip and chats on Thursdays, but this was a special episode. So Thursday is going to be our recap of Johnson. If y'all not look, y'all listen. Mm-hmm. Y'all need a good show to watch.
Watch Johnson.
Johnson is so good. It's streaming on Hulu and Prime. Mm-hmm. It's about four men. They grew up together. They're best friends, and they go through brotherhood, fatherhood, different challenges, and
everything that men go through.
It's really good,
and it's it's a very loving show. It really does show men who love each other in a masculine way. Mm-hmm. The brotherhood is real, so we would really say watch Johnson.
Yeah,
it's a great show.
So until the next time, everyone, thank you again for chiming in, and thank you for watching us here on Clink. All right, bye y'all.
Bye.
As I get up and hit end, because again, we produce this ourselves. All right.
Somebody's got to do it.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Okay. I'm sorry.